Deuteronomy 24 and verse 20, Deuteronomy 2 and verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have commanded, I have given unto thee thine hand Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. All right, going over, you're going to have to fight. Now, what are you fighting for? Fighting for your inheritance. Well, what is your inheritance? Let's go over here to Revelation chapter 5, and starting at verse 11, and I beheld and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and what else? And blessing. All right. Now, this blessing that we talked about is the Hebrew word barak or barakah from the root word barak. And this word has to do with an endowment or to be endued with power for success. To be endued with power for success. Now, this blessing basically, it affects every part of your life. And this blessing was first seen where he gave to Abraham or Adam, and he blessed Adam in Genesis chapter 1. In verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth, creepeth upon the earth, upon all the earth, and upon every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So, this blessing was now placed on man. What was the blessing? It's the power that God used to bring all material substance into being. It was the thing that God used to bring this earth into manifestation. And he placed this on a man. Why? Because he had planned for mankind to rule the universe. And so this blessing was going to enable him to do that. So now what happened was Adam sinned and he lost the blessing. Now God's got to get the blessing back. Now with this blessing, it's now about having mankind or us to be given the ability to rule over this planet or have the rule over this planet restored. This blessing will enable us to do this. Now, I know, well, let me just keep going. So this blessing is a tangible force. It attaches to your life. Once it attaches to you, then you can't get it off. It is something that stays with you forever. Now, it has to be received by faith. And what we showed over in Genesis, but I'll go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20. We showed that this blessing happens by faith. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. As you remember, Isaac blessed them both, but he gave Jacob the blessing. And the blessing was different. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 17, he talks about every good and perfect gift. He said that every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. If it's good, it came from God. And so what he's saying now, that he gives people blessings. He blesses everybody, meaning that everybody can get water and everybody can get sunlight, everybody can get air to breathe, so forth and so on. But when you're talking about the blessing, that is a special blessing from God, which is the flow of provision or protection or whatever that comes with this blessing that everybody does not get. Everybody gets human rights from God, but everybody does not get this blessing. So this blessing is something special, and you have to receive it by faith. And when we say receive it by faith, then you can't feel anything. You got to believe you received when you got blessed. Or if the word says it in here, it is yours. So you got to take it. Remember now, you got to contend with them in battle, because the enemy's job is to sit on your part of your blessing and make it so that you can't get what God says is already yours. Say amen to that. Amen. He even talked about in Romans chapter 4 and verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And it said this heir of the world. In Charles B. Williams' translation, it says, for the promise made to Abraham and his descendants that he should own the world. Man, I like that translation. That he should own the world. So basically what he's saying here is that this blessing is going to enable this, whoever it's on, to be able to rule over everything. And that's what he told Esau after Esau begged for the blessing. He said, I've already given it out and I've already made him your master. And so this blessing will take you to the top. Now we talked about that over in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In Deuteronomy 28 and starting at verse 1, and you'll see here he says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth, and all these what? Blessings shall come on you and what? Overtake you. Now, when we're talking about set you on high above all nations of the earth, then that means that God is taking you to the top. And he's taking you to the top no matter what environment you're in. It makes no difference. Because what happens sometimes is people are trying to look at that and say, well, you'll take it to the top, you know, of your family, or take it to the top of something. But somehow they've written off the fact that God can take them to the top no matter what industry they're in, no matter what nation they're in. It makes no difference. Now, if you look at the New Living Translation and look at that same in the New Living Translation, he says this. He says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you on high above all the nations of the world. And you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. Now going down to verse 12, please. In verse 12, he says, the Lord will send rain at the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Glory to God. All right? So he is saying here that you're going to be on top no matter where you go. And all you have to do is kind of look back in the scriptures and see some of the things that the blessing does for you. One thing it does, it gives you supernatural level of operation. In other words, you have supernatural increase, financial. You have supernatural provision. You get supernatural protection. You get supernatural proficiency. Let me give you an example of that. Remember when Abraham in Genesis chapter 14 and verse in Genesis chapter 14, I'm going to trust that you could look some of this up yourself. And it says that here in verse 14, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, that was nephew Lot, He armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them to Dan. Now, who was he pursuing? He was pursuing four kings or four nations, and he was pursuing them with 318 men. But they were trained. Now, what trained them? The blessing trained them. Now, I'm going to show you that in a minute. Look at verse 17. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after the return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and of the kings that were with him. In other words, this international bully got slaughtered by Abraham and 318 folk. Look at Exodus 31. In Exodus 31, starting at verse 1, these are people who came out of Egypt, out of over 400 years of slavery. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, and to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship." Now, what am I saying? I'm saying he put an anointing or a blessing on him that would allow him to be able to cut stones, make timber, carve things out. In other words, do building that he never went to school to learn. Look at 1 Samuel 17 and 33. This is when David came and he was going to fight with Goliath. But look what King Saul said to David. And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go up against this Philistine to fight him with him, for thou art but a youth." And he's a man of war from his youth. He's been trained from his youth. How many of you know David won the battle? He won the battle because the blessing can teach you. How do I know that? Look at Psalm 144 and verse 1. In Psalm 144 and verse 1, glory to God, it says, prepare the scriptures, please. "Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight." Look at Psalm 23 and verse 5. In 23 and verse 5, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In other words, right at the business table of negotiation, I will tell you exactly what to do. Well, how would you like to be a lawyer and have this at your disposal? I'm just saying, just look at Psalm chapter 27. And no, I don't want to go to that one. Let's go to some others. Let's go to Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17. Over in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17, here's Daniel and them. Now they're in captivity. "As for these four children, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." Wow. Look at verse 20. "And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all the realm." Folks, we shouldn't be letting the world set the standards for us. We should be setting the standards for the world. The world shouldn't be accrediting us. We should be accrediting the world. And look what it says next. I'll go to John chapter 7. And look at verse 14. This is Jesus talking. They're talking about Jesus. It said, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." Check it out. And this is what he said. Next verse, please. "And the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" Let's look at that in the Good News Bible or in the New Living Bible or whatever you have back there. He said, "Then midway through the fifth festival, Jesus went up into the temple and began to teach. And the people were surprised when they heard him. How does this man know so much when he hasn't been trained?" He hasn't been trained. So my point to you is, one of them said he's never been to our school. Now, how does he know all of this? Now, think about it. If you have a book and you're learning the same thing I'm learning, then we're just going to compete. But if you have this book and you're learning the book plus what the Lord adds to the book, am I right about it? Then you're going to know something I don't know. Look at 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 12. I'm talking about the blessing. I'm talking about the blessing. See, and if you don't have a revelation of this blessing, you don't tap into this. You'll be just like anybody else out there that's thanking God for his goodness. Every day the sun was shining and the rain came at the appropriate time. And so, no. God plans for you to have more than that. Because how is he going to take you to the top if you compete? See, leave that verse up there. Jesse Owens said this. The guy said, well, how, you know, you're talking about Jesse Owens running over there in Germany, and Hitler, you know, was there, and Hitler, you know, didn't like blacks and Jews, and he didn't really like himself, but he just didn't like anybody. He said, well, you know, how are you going to keep him from taking that away from you or whatever have you? You know they're prejudiced. He said, no, you don't understand. There's no white or black. There's only fast and slow. You see, and that's what you need to come to. See, it's performance. It's performance. If a man is in a tight spot or woman, and you are the one that's got the gifting to get him out, I don't care if you are a polka dot. They say, bring him in here. Look what it says. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Next verse. And which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Keep going. And but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he discern them, because they are spiritually discerned. See what I'm saying? See, in that, look at Daniel chapter 1 again and verse 17. That this is talking about working with books, see? He said, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in what? All learning, see, and wisdom. See, they studied out of the book, but they knew more than the book. Okay. So what do you get? You get protection. What do you get? You get promotion. What do you also get? Supernatural fruitfulness. You get supernatural longevity. In the prayer of Jabez, that's 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9. Now Jabez was concerned about how they named him, because they named him something that perhaps was really calling him something that he didn't want to be called. As you know, in that day, names have a lot to do with your calling or what your destiny will be. And it says here, verse 9, excuse me, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez. Now Jabez means pain. It means son of pain, means sorrowful. And that's why some people need to not just name kids anything. You need to see what you name in these kids. And a lot of times people name kids out of what they're going through. He hurt me. What's your name? He hurt me. Yeah, no, no. You'll be surprised if they... Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou would what? Bless me indeed. What else? Enlarge my coast. What else? That your hand be with me. And what else? That you'll keep me from evil. And that's a prayer you can pray. And so what is he saying now? He is saying, hey, wait a minute. I want to start thinking original thoughts. I want to have my capacity expanded. I want things to come on me and overtake me. The Bible even talks about America. It says, and this is kind of what, how the country was formed. It says over in Psalm chapter 33 and verse, glory to God, verse 12. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Isn't that powerful? Look at Psalm 133. Over in Psalm 133, he says this. He says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together. How? In unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, and the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord did what? Commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Unity causes the blessing to come on your life. So remember what Abraham said to Lot? He said, let there be no strife between us. If you want the right, I'll take the left. You want the left, I'll take the right. So forth and so on. Now, why am I saying this? Because this blessing will give you superior performance. And you don't have to compromise with the blessing. In other words, Joseph in Genesis 39, he was, Mrs. Potiphar came on him and asked him, said, hey, lie with me. And now, you know, somebody who didn't have all this knowledge might have taken advantage of that because they thought they'd move up, you know, in Pharaoh's kingdom. But it was a trick because it was trying to get at that blessing. And so notice he didn't compromise. In other words, you don't have to know anybody at City Hall. You don't have to know anybody at the company that you're going to. Come on. And in fact, God will prefer that you don't know him because he wants to get the glory for all that happens to you with this blessing. And you don't have to get them to lower the standards so they can make sure that minorities get in. Because once you get this blessing on you, you will be the majority. You will be the one that's going to be on top because it's going to give you an empowerment to be able to think of things that you never thought of before. In fact, let me just read some of the things here that this blessing will do for you. I just put them down here. The blessing will bring you wealth without toil. In fact, all of this is going to come without toil. Now, toil is even saying this, Lord, what am I going to do now? That's toil. It's not going to even let you do that. See, with the blessing, all you got to do is hearken to what he tells you to do. This blessing is going to bring you multi-million dollar ideas. This blessing is going to bring you benefits and promotion. This blessing is going to bring you supernatural visions and dreams. It's going to bring you inventions and strategies. It's going to bring you checks in the mail. It's going to bring you unexpected blessing. It's going to bring you wealth transfer. It's going to bring you new real estate. It's going to bring you supernatural progress with no setbacks. It's going to bring you debt elimination. It's going to bring you debt-free living. It's going to bring you divine health. I don't care how sick you are. It's going to bring you preservation and soundness. It's going to bring you fruitfulness. It's going to bring you accelerated growth. and development. It's going to bring you strategic positioning. It's going to position you in a place where you're always going to get blessed. It's going to bring you world-class goods and services. It's going to bring you new ways of living, new ways of thinking, new ways of working. It's going to bring you a way to use time better. It's going to bring you new communication skills. It's going to bring you new resource management skills. And it's going to bring you kingdom billionaire mindset. Praise God in heaven. Now, that's a blessing. And in Numbers 22, you'll see that Satan cannot curse whatever's been blessed. I mean, the moment they tried to get over there, they tried to get, what's his name? Come on. Balak, okay. Now, Balak tried to hire Balaam to curse Israel. And every time Balaam got up somewhere and opened his mouth, blessings came out. How would you like, they can't even curse you in their private time, in their house. Now, do you believe what I'm saying here? It's all in the book. All you got to do is look at the book. All right, now let's deal with this very quickly. Let's deal with this idea of borrowing and lending, because we started that before. All right, now, here's what it says in Proverbs 22 and verse 7. All right, let's get that first. In Proverbs 22 and verse 7, he says that the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. All right, let's try another translation of that. Let's just see how we do here. Glory to God. Let's try the New King James. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Let's go to the NIV translation, please. All right. He said, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. All right, now, why is he saying that? He is saying that when you borrow, you've got to make payments. You got to pay it back. And that means that you've committed a part of your future to working for somebody else to pay them back. Are you with me here? Yes. Now, that means you commit part of your time, part of your effort, and expending your life to pay a debt. Now, God does not want you to be in that position. Now, understand who he's talking to. He's talking to people that had come out of over 400 years of slavery. And he's now going to change that. He's going to put them on top. Now, lending is what you're supposed to be doing, not be the borrower. Now, borrowing is not a sin. If it were a sin, then why would you be lending to somebody? That's going to make them sinful. So if God comes and tells you, do not borrow, then to violate that would be to trespass God. But in this Bible, it talks about this borrowing or borrowing or lending and borrowing. And it talks about it in some of the other scriptures, and I want you to see it. Let's go, if you will, to Deuteronomy and chapter 28 and start looking at it at verse 11 first. Let's look at that. He says, glory to God, stay with me now. He says, 11, he says, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give to thee. And the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure in heaven, and give you rain in your land in season, and bless all the work of your hands. and thou shalt lend to many nations, but thou shalt not what? Borrow. All right, let's take that and look at the Message translation in that same scripture and just see what this Message translation says. All right, you with me? It says, and God will show them, will throw open the doors of his sky vaults and pour rain on your land on schedule and bless the work you take in hand. You will lend to many nations, but you yourself won't have to take out a loan. Now, this is God's plan for you now. You're not going to have to take out a loan. I said, God's plan is that you don't have to take out a loan. Let's look at this same, those same scriptures in the New Testament or the New Living Translation, starting at verse 12. New Living Translation. He says this, and the Lord will send rain in the proper time from his rich treasury in the heavens and will bless all the work you do. You will lend to many nations, but you will never need to borrow from them. Got it? Now, I want you to see this because this is what God wants for his people. Now, he knows where they came from. They came out of bondage. And he's now going to turn situations around. He knows people who are listening to this owe folks money. But he is saying, I want you out. Not only do I want you out, I want you on top of everybody. Now, he is saying this, glory to God. Are y'all with me here? All right, look at Deuteronomy 15, if you will, and let's look at verse 6. Deuteronomy 15 and verse 6. Oh, Jesus, this stuff is so good, man, I got to keep it all in mind here. Are you with me? All right, in 15 and 6, for the Lord thy God blesses thee as he has promised thee, and thou shalt lend to many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not what? Reign over you. So God's plan is for you to reign. Let's go and look at that verses 4 through 6 in the Message translation. Lord have mercy. Y'all stay with me now. I got it all outlined here. I just want to drive this thing home. There must be no poor, there must be no poor people among you because God is going to bless you lavishly in this land that God, your God, is giving you an inheritance, your very own land. But only if you listen obediently to the voice of God, your God, diligently observing every commandment that I command you today. Now, why is that so good? Because what that is saying is you don't have to figure out how you're going to get out. That didn't go over well. You don't have to, God is going to give you everything you need to get out. He's going to do it. Look what he said in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, because he promised Abraham and Sarah they're going to have a child. And being fully persuaded, this is Abraham now, that what God promised, come on, help me now, he was able also to perform. Now that's good news, because God is saying this, hey, just walk with me now. Come on, look at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Lord have mercy. In the New Living Translation, one more time. That's the New Living Translation in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. Here's what he said. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the world. Glory to God. And you will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. So all I've got to do is just obey. No, I'm gonna come again. All I gotta do is just obey. He said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Watch this. And all these things, come on, shall be added to you. See, you don't have to achieve it. You just receive it. You're not the one doing it. He's saying, I'm going to do it for you. Now, I know you're in debt. Now, how in debt are you? Praise God. Because I'm going to take you completely out of debt. Did I show you Deuteronomy 15 verses 1 and 2 in the Message translation? Now I'm showing you all these translations because I want you to get it in your spirit, because we're going to have some debt cancellation in here that's going to amaze you. Look what he said this, verses 1 and 2. At the end of every seventh year, cancel all debts. This is the procedure. Every who has lent money to his neighbor writes it off. You must not press your neighbor or his brother for payment. All debts are canceled. God says so. I said, all debts are canceled. God said so. One more time. All debts are canceled. God said so. Now, right here, you might wonder, how is God going to do this? I gave you three the last time. He's going to do it through miracles. Miracles. I'm talking about everything from miracle money showing up in your account. Come on. Miracle money coming to your house. Come on. Miracle money showing up. He's going to do it through miracles. He had money in a fish's mouth and they paid their taxes. Am I right about it? He lost the axe head and he had to throw in a stick and he recovered it. I'm saying miracles. Debt going to be paid off miracle wise. I told you, for the airplane, just get an envelope and say, I believe I've received $1,000, and watch the miracle take place. Another way is through wisdom. And wisdom of God is going to be there. And you can look at that in 2 Kings chapter 4. That God is going to lead you step by step by step. And these miracles of wisdom are going to lead you into steps of debt elimination. Say amen to that. Amen. And then the last way was through, we said, overflow or increase. And this increase is going to be something that God's going to give you. So when you get an extra bonus or whatever have you, boom, you can pay that debt off. Now that's why I gave you 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is talking about contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He said, you brought nothing into the world, you will leave with nothing. He is saying that be content now to pay off the debt. In other words, you know you need to be debt free. Don't get the extra money and go out and buy something else and get deeper in debt. Take the debt, content with what you got, and just pay the thing off. He's already told you you're going to own the world. So you're going to have a swimming pool. So my point to you is just be content. Say amen to that. Now, here's the deal. God wants you to look to him for the miracle, because he's the one that's going to be working the miracle for you. He just absolutely loves it when we come to him. You get in trouble, he said, call on me and I will answer, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you have not known. That's found in Jeremiah 3 and verse 33. So God wants you to call on him. Now, somebody said, well, my debt is pretty big, Reverend. Debt is pretty big. Is anything too hard for the Lord? So I'm saying, whether it's a mortgage, come on, whether it's a house note or car note, whether it's a school loan, whether it's hospital bill, whether it's a on Big Mama, whatever it is, God's got your back. Now, let's see that, if you will. Let's go over to, glory to God, Matthew chapter 18, please. Matthew 18. Glory to God. Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, look what he says here. He says, and it came, this is verse 21. Then came Peter to him and he said, Lord, How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said to him, I say not seven times, not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. In other words, as many times as he come back, you forgive him. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now, wait a minute, stop right there. A talent, the Bible, the concordance that I have says, a talent is roughly $1 million. One talent is $1 million. Now, how much did he owe him? He owed him 10,000 talents. Now, one talent is $1 million. Got it? All right. Then he owed him 10,000 talents. So how much did he owe the man? Now, I want one person to shout out how much. Now, don't. Wait a minute. Too many people shout now. How much did he owe it? Up one what? 10 billion. Now he owed him 10 billion. Look what happened next. Look at the next verse. I want you to see this. Because you think that apartment building that you got in debt is too much for God to cancel. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him. Wait a minute. We read that. 10,000 talents. Okay, next verse, please. And for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife and his children, and all that he had, and payment be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with what? Compassion. And what did he do? Loosed him. And what did he do? Forgave him the debt. I said he forgave him the debt. Now look at Colossians in chapter 2. Look at that. Over in Colossians chapter 2, put the scriptures up there, please. In Colossians chapter 2, he said, buried with him in baptism, wherein, this is verse 12, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith in the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Watch this. And you being dead in your sins and this uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us or you, which was contrary to you, and took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. In other words, he took the debt that you owe and nailed it to his account. Say amen. And the debt that you owed could not be paid with money because there was no money and not enough to handle that debt. In other words, nothing could cancel that debt except a life. And he took his own life to cancel your debt. Now, I'm saying this because I don't know how big a debt you got, because you might have a debt on a big old mortgage. You might have a debt on a big car or something, or apartment building or whatever it is. It's debt canceling time. God is a supernatural debt canceling God. Listen, he's been waiting on you. Because see, he knows what you came out of, but he knows where he's taking you. He's taking you to the top, and he's taking you to be the lender. See, some people come on, you know, you borrow and lending that money. You probably, if you got a U.S. savings bond, you lend money. You lend money to your country. That's what you do when you buy a savings bond. You've just lent it to your country. Come on. Some people, a legitimate thing. They need to go to school. They don't have any other way but get a school loan. Oh, you got what I'm saying? And I'm saying you will lend, but you will not have to borrow. See, he's going to put you in a position where you will never have to borrow again. Now, the first step is to get you out of what you're in. Say amen to that. So what we're going to do is keep track of all these debt cancellations. We're going to really make the devil mad. Now, I want you to go. I want you to see, we're starting from today, that when you get that debt canceled, now, what I did that time to cancel my debts, I pointed at them. I put them on the kitchen table. Now, you don't have to do this. I'm a little dramatic and, you know, sometimes. And I put them on that kitchen table. I said, debts, I'm talking to you. And the bills, I call them bills. Not Bill Winston, just bills. I'm talking to you. In the name of Jesus, be paid off. Dematerialize. Evaporate. Go away. Be canceled. In the name of Jesus. Now, how did God get me out? He got me out through overflow. Overflow. I was working at IBM and that money started coming in there. Those new accounts start selling. And what did I do? I didn't run out and buy nothing new. I pop, 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 and owe no man nothing. And owe no man nothing today. And that went for all the time. See, I'm not trying to get back in. I'm trying to stay out. Now, I'm not trying to run on just enough, because just enough will pop you back in there sometime. But I'm running on more than enough. So if something comes up, pop, pop, pop. Say amen. Now, don't look at anybody to get you out. Don't look at but one source. God. God says it's time for you to come out. He is saying, I'm canceling your debt. I don't care how big it is. I don't care who it's to. I don't care how you got in it. It's canceled. Say amen. Amen. Now, I'm telling you, don't go out and spend your canceled money on something else. Try to accumulate your money. Let it build just a little bit, because there's something called a storehouse principle. The more you got, the more God will add to it. Glory to God. Say amen to that. So let it accumulate so you can go out and buy yourself a 6-flat apartment over here and a 5-flat over there. Why? While you're working, it's working for you. Create 7 streams of income. Praise God. Woo! Give God a shout. That's all we got for you. Yeah. Oh, boy. That was good preaching right there. Now, you see how I worked my way through the different translations. Because sometimes you say, with this translation, you won't get the full meaning of it, see. And then people get condemned, to get in debt, condemned. Somebody say, well, you're in sin. No, no, no. That's just like saying, if you're sick, you're in sin. Don't do that. What you got to do is understand, look on the bright side. Watch this. God's going to get you out, and here's the good news. He's going to get you out without toil. This is the good news. You don't have to figure it out. Just do what? Hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. He's going to tell you exactly what to do. If you're here, God, I haven't dismissed anybody yet. So if you're here and God says you need to be saved, let me have the privilege of praying.